Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
A study of sedentary people ages 59 to 80 indicated that those who walked benefited more than those who just did stretching exercises. I'm sure that's hardly a surprise to anyone who thinks about it. When we're out walking, we're doing a lot of different things. We're using our brains in different ways. We're paying attention to the scents, sights, smells around us. And most certainly, walking with a dog is a long-established tradition. We like to walk with our dogs. We like to be out and about with our dogs. And in fact, we like it so much we never give it much thought one way or another. Well, we didn't used to give it much thought one way or another. Now, walking with a dog can be a pretty big deal. Some schools of thought maintain that exercise is the universal antidote for everything. If your dog has problems, get out there. Get the dog out there exercising, doing all kinds of dog sports. That'll take care of it. Just get that dog tired out. If that dog is tired, that dog will be too tired to do anything else, like bark aggressively or snap at the kids or whatever. And there's another school of thought that says that this is how the dog becomes complete. When we take the dog out for a walk, when we let the dog hang out in the park, sniff and sniff and sniff and sniff and sniff and check out everything and just enjoy things out there, that's perfect. That's the best thing we can do for our dogs. And as the studies tell us, if we needed the studies, getting out there and walking around and checking things out and getting exercise is good for us too. In body, mind, and spirit. The thing that the study didn't mention, but I'm pretty sure we can assume, is that those who were out walking were doing so in a secure environment. The researchers, for example, didn't take them into a strange, large metropolitan area and turn them loose in the more unsavory parts of town at night to do their walking. The thing about exercising with someone else, anyone else, is that it should be as relaxing for them as it is for us. The dog is well behaved and the owners can enjoy themselves. They can stop and chat with friends and the dog might just stand there quietly or maybe lie down or maybe sniff around a little bit. But it's no big deal. It's all very casual, very natural. Other times, the dog is reduced to a vehicle for the owner's walk. The owner needs the dog there for some sort of protection. Sometimes it's physical protection. They want to believe that their dog protects them from any bad things they encounter on their walks, be that a bear or a mugger. Other times, they need the dog as a social facilitator. They don't feel comfortable approaching other people on their walk and just saying something like, "Good morning, lovely day, isn't it?" Other times it's just a question of being so insecure, you need to reach down and stroke the dog and get the beneficial effects of that contact. If our dog possesses the physiological and behavioral potential to live up to our expectations, all is well. And we both mutually benefit from this exercise. But if the dog can't, if the dog is aggressive toward other dogs or people, or if the dog hangs back, or if the dog doesn't want to go in the first place, or if the dog goes home a lot faster than the dog leaves for the walk, then we need to take a look at it. It might be that the dog's not quite ready to be out on that walk yet. Maybe the dog needs a little bit of work at home. Just in the backyard, learning self-confidence, learning to trust the owner to take care of the dog as well as himself or herself. For some people, if the dog has those problems, it's a no-brainer. They don't want their dog to be upset on walks. They want the dog to enjoy the walk as much as they do. And so they're willing to do that. And during that time, the owner walks alone or calls up a human friend and walks with that person. And yeah, they'd like to be out there walking with their dog, but they understand. They understand that no matter how many calories that dog is burning off, it's not fun for the dog. And so they do this. And they don't feel like martyrs, and they don't feel like saints. They do it the same way they wouldn't put a dog in agility who's obviously stressed in that environment. Because they want what's best for the dog. But for other people, the need to have that dog with them is so strong. They are so dependent on that dog's presence, that dog's protection, be it physical or emotional or both. They can't stand the thought of not walking with that animal. And so the idea of working with the animal in a much more secure environment is extremely difficult for them. And they keep chomping at the bit. How soon till we can get out there? How soon till we can get back on the road? How soon till I can walk around the neighborhood? They don't realize that they could walk around the neighborhood anytime they wanted to. It's just that they need to leave the dog. But they can't do that. Those are the tough ones. Those are the tough ones. Because it's yet another one of those cases where what the dog symbolizes to us is more important than the needs of the dog himself.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.